I'm sure he heard me. I told you that I'm your sinning pastor, right? I've mentioned that. Have you ever killed somebody? Now, don't raise your hand. I came this close. I was probably 13 or 14 years old, and my sister, whom I love dearly, Ethel and Elliot, my parents had a sense of humor. My sister was, I don't even remember, but she must have been nagging me. She was talking to me and nagging me and telling me something that I didn't want to hear, and she kept repeating it over and over, and I was asking her very politely, I'm sure, to stop. And she didn't. This isn't funny. You laugh. I, your pastor, put my hands to her throat and squeezed. Well, she stopped. She couldn't talk because she couldn't get any air in. And I kept squeezing tighter and tighter. My dear sister's hands in my neck, in my hands. My dear sister's neck in my hands. And I'm squeezing and squeezing, and she's turning red, and then she's turning purple. Now, you would have thought that a loving brother would have stopped, but I didn't. And she said, I'll never forget it. Elliot, I can't breathe. With perhaps her very last breath. And in that moment, seeing her turning purple, realizing that she couldn't breathe, something, and I don't think it was me, stopped. And I removed my hands, and the color came back to her face, and I think she ran to her room and cried. I didn't cry, but it is something that has haunted me my whole life. What's the worst thing you can do to another person? Is it kill them? Perhaps. You know, when you betray somebody, just the word betray indicates a relationship with that person. Jesus could only be betrayed by a friend. Jesus could only be betrayed by somebody whom he loved and somebody who supposedly loved him. And Jesus was betrayed, and it wasn't by Pilate, and it wasn't by the religious leaders and rulers of the day. It wasn't the high priest who betrayed Jesus. It was one of his own. As we reflect on the betrayal of Jesus, you must understand that it's the relationships of people closest to you, the people that you work alongside of, who sabotage that promotion that you deserve. Who was a friend. You thought that they were your friend. And now you're not going to get that raise, that promotion, that advancement. It's cut off because of a supposed friend's words or actions or deeds. And it hurts. It hurts. Betrayal hurts. When somebody that you trust, somebody that you have a vested interest in their life and they in yours, turns against you, it's hard to recover. Sometimes those relationships don't rebound. I want you to think about some of those people in your life that maybe have been less than supportive at the time you needed them most. And it may have been they knew that you were in need and they didn't show up. It may have been that you needed words of comfort, and they didn't say them. They were harsh and critical instead. That's actually pretty light on the scale of betrayal. And to lose a relationship over a momentary lapse is very unfortunate. I wouldn't have blamed my sister for never wanting to be in the same room with me ever again the rest of my life. But she forgave me. and we're still very, very tight and close. I would be there for my sister now because I am restored to her. It's similar to Peter's betrayal of his Lord. When he denied him three times and he was restored to his Lord, he would go to his death, upside down on a cross, we're told in history, for his Lord. He would have done anything for his Lord because his Lord had forgiven him much. The one who has been forgiven little loves little, and the one who has been forgiven much loves much. And so it is in our relationships. No relationship is perfect except the one that you have with the Lord, and even that relationship is one-sided. We have betrayed our Lord. We have sinned. It was our sins that sent him to the cross. You know, tonight's not a happy message. It really isn't. It's about betrayal. And what's the worst betrayal that can happen? Maybe killing somebody. Now, to kill a stranger in a car accident, maybe you're an engineer and you knew that you were using substandard techniques or devices in the building and the bridge collapsed. And you're guilty of that blood. You can call it an accident. Maybe it was somewhat intentional. They're doing investigations. I'm referring to the bridge down in Florida that collapsed. It was Florida, wasn't it? Yeah. Terrible tragedy. It seems to be more of a tensioning thing that they were tightening cables and maybe one of them snapped. Truly an accident. But still, that poor workman who was tightening the cable, or the engineer who designed it, or the foreman that morning. Oh, how do you forgive yourself? Lives were lost. When you're betrayed, you're here, so obviously somebody didn't betray you to the point of death. Maybe you had a sibling who did mean, nasty things to you, tortured you. Maybe there were bullies who pretended to be your friend, but really were mean and nasty to you. Maybe you had a teacher who was a mentor and then reported you to the dean of students and had you expelled from the school or whatever, I don't know. Those relationships, we all have them. When we're less than enthralled with the person that we used to hold dear to us, how do we survive? Jesus gives us the example. He dies for his enemies. He died for Judas. He died for Peter. He died for us all. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's easy for us to look at the whole idea of betrayal as if we're the victims all the time, that somebody has betrayed us. It's easy for us to remember those who have betrayed us and what exactly they did, what exactly they said, what exactly was done to us. But is it possible that we have betrayed others who are close to us? I would tell you this evening that you probably all have. And if you can't remember it, you need to ask the Lord to show it to you. So that you can make it right. So that you can ask for forgiveness. So that the relationship can be restored. There may be a person that you've hurt. You know what betrayal feels like. And maybe you caused that in somebody else's life. Jesus' good friend, Judas, would betray him with a kiss. Of all things, a kiss. One who pretended to love him. I believe Judas probably really did admire and respect and even on some level loved Jesus. He was with them for the better part of 3 years. He may have been one of the two disciples that went in to get the colt for the triumphal entry. He may have been one of the disciples that Jesus leaned upon. He was, we're told, the treasurer for the group. I can't imagine a friend of mine killing me, but I can imagine myself killing, because I almost did it and probably would have had the Lord not released my hands. If you don't think you're capable of infidelity, if you don't think that you're capable of lying, of thievery, of murder, you're sadly mistaken. Given the right circumstances and the right conditions, any of us could do anything. Maybe you don't believe that. Take that up with the Lord. That's what's in the heart of man: sin. I'm not proud of being a sinning pastor, but I have a sinning congregation. We're all pretty good at it. We truly are. And Jesus died for us so that we could have forgiveness. How would he get to the cross? Somebody would have to betray him. He'd have to be mocked, ridiculed, falsely accused, false trials in the middle of the night, all to bring him to the point where he would shed his blood on the cross. This table represents that evening. We're going to have our remembrance around the elements yet again. And this time when we do so, I want you to think of the betrayal of Jesus, those who maybe have betrayed you, and anyone that you may have betrayed. And I want it to be a time of healing and forgiveness, of repentance, asking God for forgiveness, realizing that he forgave us. Behold, my betrayer is at hand. I don't think it was just Judas that he was talking about. I know he was talking about me. There's something cathartic about going through a dark evening like this, remembering his betrayal, remembering tomorrow his death and burial, that he was in the grave. Knowing that he paid the penalty. And he didn't just prick his finger, he died for you and for me. He must love us. I know he loves me. I am not worthy. I clean up nice. I can wear a suit and tie. I can say all the right words. But he knows who I really am. He remembers me as a 13-year-old young man with his hands around his sister's neck. He remembers me in all the things that I have done my whole life long. And for those of you who are young, the older you get, the more you regret. Those things, the list goes on and on. I am not worthy, but he is. He is worthy of my admiration, my respect, my devotion, my love. I will give anything for my Lord after what he has done for me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. You did more than die on a cross for our sins. You lived 33 years, and you lived a sinless life, and you taught many people, and you had many miracles performed in your name, and you yourself was used in powerful ways by the Heavenly Father. It was plain and clear to anyone who will investigate the truth that you were no mere man. that you were the Savior of the world, the Messiah, come to save his people from their sins. Father, we gather this evening to remember that last night as you were betrayed. It's not easy to do, but to reflect on that is hard enough. And now we're asked to reflect upon our own betraying others and others who may have betrayed us. And one of the hardest things, Father, to forgive. But it's really only being like you, and that's what we're supposed to be, after all, little Christ. So help us, Lord, to forgive others, to forgive ourselves, and then to make things right in relationships, to ask for forgiveness where perhaps that other person may not even remember. It doesn't matter. We've got to make it right. So help us, Lord. Give us opportunity. Give us strength. And then, Father, when full forgiveness is known and received and relationships are restored, may you be honored and glorified in our personal relationships, in our church relationships, and in our witnessing. Father, the only way we can be truly used of you is if we are made right with you and with our fellow man. This evening, we're given the example of how that can be done. Help us to follow your example and to be an example to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.